Thanksgiving, or what's kind of your plan?
We're going to practice Thanksgiving morning. Make sure everybody is, you know, hopefully home by 11, before noon. So practice only, 8 o'clock. You going, or?
Yeah, okay. We'll see you there. Mike, did you get a chance to look at the play that Kenny Clark got hurt on? If so, did you share Ha-Ha's contention that it was a dirty play?
Well, the play that Kenny Clark was injured on, I think clearly Kenny's in a compromised position. You know, obviously you got a physical game going on there in the interior. You know, I thought it was unnecessary. Definitely an injury that potentially could have been avoided.
Is he going to be out for a while, Mike?
Well, we're still – that's where we just came from. That's why we're running a little late here. Training room, they're still Doc McKenzie's seeing all those guys right now. The scans and information is still coming in.
You always talk about that year one to year two jump is what he's been at the forefront of that, hasn't he?
Kenny Clark? Oh, yeah, I think he's having a heck of a year. He's playing very well. Clearly has made the jump from year one to year two. You can see the way he finished the season last year, and he's been extremely consistent, disruptive. Kenny's having a heck of a year.
So where do you go offensively from here?
Offensively, we're game planning. Defensively, we're game planning also today, and so is the special teams. We're have a different schedule this week with Thanksgiving, so that players' day off is today as opposed to the normal Tuesday. We'll work tomorrow. We'll install the normal D&D and third down tomorrow. Be exclusively in-house, you know, as far as the walkthroughs and so forth. Then Wednesday will be more like a Thursday schedule. We'll have, you know, the rest of our game planning will go in. So we'll have a lighter practice, you know, Wednesday afternoon, because then we'll practice first thing, you know, pads Thursday morning, and then we'll be on to a little longer Friday than normal. And we'll have a short schedule on Saturday and fly to Pittsburgh. So we're game planning right now. This is technically like a Tuesday for the coaching staff, Monday night, Tuesday operation.
I guess what I was getting at is after the Chicago game, you know, Brett made those couple key passes, and obviously there's your film upbeat. Where do you build on after what happened yesterday?
Well, that's part of the game plan process. You go through it. You break down your own game. You self-scout. You look at the games, particularly, you know, the Pittsburgh's defense, I'm sure, is focused on the games that Brett Hundley's been a quarterback. So you have to make sure you're in tune with who you are, what you represent on game film. You know, you can't fall in a trap of, you know, thinking that you're something that you're not based on how you practice. So you are what you put on film, and that's what they'll be looking at, and our game plan will come off of that and how we view their defense. And, you know, obviously it's important to make the quarterback successful. Good, healthy run game is usually a starting point, and you got to get completions and play in favorable third downs. So that's where we'll start at, like we do each and every week.
Mike, I get that you want to limit Brett's risky throws, but has he been too quick to throw it out of bounds, particularly when he scrambles out of the pocket?
Well, you got 2 points here. I mean, limit risky throws. I don't really understand that. You know, just you have quick game. You have run solution throws that come off of runs. You have 3-step drops. You have 5-step, and you have down the field, you know, 7-step drops. So I mean, that's how you install a passing game, and then that's how things operate when you're in the pocket. But then when you come out of the pocket, I thought he actually did a good job getting to the perimeter and creating time in the scramble phase. But you know, I don't think our scramble spacing was quite what it could be. You know, that's something that we'll focus on as an emphasis this week from the offense's perimeter. It'll come out of self-scout segment of our game plan.
Mike, what?
You don't criticize guys publicly. So just in terms of what do you need Brett to do more consistently? What specific things do you need him to do just more consistently? Because he's shown flashes.
I mean, anytime your passing game isn't quite what you want it to be, you know, the first thing, and it's the baseline, is you just have to look at the time clock. You know, every play design has a time clock as far as, you know, the protection, creating the, you know, proper platform to give the quarterback and receivers the time clock to win. So whether it's the releases or breaking points, of the, you know, the perimeter group, or is it the footwork and, you know, the release of the football? So we need to be better there, and that'll definitely be a focus for Brett this week.
Mike, do you have any comment on the Aaron Jones situation?
I'm aware of Aaron Jones' situation. I spoke to Aaron after the incident. It's been a while since the – don't recall the date. He made a mistake, and you know, I know it's a pending legal situation. So, but, yes, I am aware of it.
So, Mike, what's your approach with Brett after, you know, he has a couple of moments in Chicago and you feel good with the win, and then – what happens yesterday? I mean, you take so much pride in coaching quarterbacks, so you usually know what to do with them. What do you do with him now? Is it just same as every day? Do you take a different approach in terms of what you say or what you demand from him? What do you do?
Well, it's definitely not the same as every day. I mean, everybody that has, you know, that has the responsibility of handling the football carries, you know, the importance, you know, the standard that we've set here. So, I mean, he has to take care of the football. So, I mean, that's clearly starting point number one, and that you know, we'll have a chance to sit down and watch the game. Hopefully today, it'll be part of the Sell Scott, you know, getting him ready to move on. So, but the reality is, he's putting in the extra time. I really like his work ethic. I think it's important not to overreact. So we're not going to do that. We know when went wrong. Why it did, how we can improve it. We have a different schedule this week, so it'll definitely be more work from his standpoint on the front end leading up to Thursday, and then we've been spending extra time on Fridays, Saturdays the last couple weeks, and we'll continue to do that. So we need to go to Pittsburgh and win the game, and that's, you know, the offense has to, you know, play to the game plan. We could do a better job of that as a whole offense, and, you know, the defense has to build off of the performance they had against Baltimore, and special teams needs to, you know, step up and win the field position battle and make some plays.
In evaluating the game plan from Sunday, is there a chance that you overestimated the steps that he took based on the Chicago game, the advancement he made, and gave him too much?
I don't think I mean, that's really not how it's put together. You know, I think it's important to make sure you give your players the chance to be successful. At the end of the day, when you get into game planning, and I think, you know, sometimes, and it can even happen internally here, you know, you get down the road of excuse making. You know, it's, you know, play design and ability to keep the players in clean plays is what you do. But there's other factors that are involved in that. I mean, you got to, you know, like I stated yesterday, there's, you know, the ability to run the football. You want it to be north of 30 attempts. I mean, that's, if you're going to draw up a formula for how you want to call the game, there's always an approach in how you go at that game. But, you know, there's things that you have to adjust to. I mean, that's football. So the number of running backs you have, or, you know, the other things that can happen during the flow of a game. So the number of defensive linemen they had, the decision to go no huddle. So you look at those things. Those are adjustments. Those are adjustments we made during the game. It didn't go very well, obviously. So we'll correct it, and we'll apply it to our game plan for Pittsburgh.
I don't know if you're planning on getting Ty Montgomery back this week or not. It's obviously early, but where is your trust in Devontae Mays going forward from right now?
Devontae Mays will, you know, hopefully take as much, you know, as many reps as he did last week. I thought he had he did some really good things in practice. I was actually, you know, excited to see him, you know, cut it loose. So he has it, and you know, it's that transition that every rookie goes to when he gets into the regular season game, especially November football too. So I look for him to take a step this week.
On the first interception in the end zone, Brett's eyes seem to draw the defender to the play. Is that a tough thing for a young quarterback making his first couple starts? Is that a tough thing to teach as a quarterback's coach? Where, you know, obviously the quarterback, people talk about staring down a receiver, but the eyes in general, such an important, you look at the high-level quarterbacks in the league, they do a lot of work with their eyes. Is that a really tough thing to kind of bring along in a young quarterback?
Well, it's definitely a focus point. I mean, especially when you're playing against a secondary, you know, with as much experience as those guys, you know, the eyes were definitely an emphasis. You know, I think when you break down eye responsibility for the quarterback. You know, I've always taught it, and you know, there's two responsibilities. You have vision, and then you have discipline. You know, you have to have your eyes where they're supposed to be, the discipline of what you're looking at, or you know, or perceived to look at, and then the vision aspect of it is you got to make sure you're seeing what you're supposed to be seeing. So you're supposed to be where the play takes you. You know, as far as the reaction of the defense to the formation. You know, really the vision of problem there on that particular play, and I think it's like anything when you're going to evaluate the whole play, particularly play design or someone else's play design. I think it was obvious that their defense was in this a little bit of disarray. They were adjusting to the formation. You know, obviously after the penalty there. So what Brett saw was he saw no one running with Randall. So he was trying to take advantage of a uncovered situation, and really, you know, Jimmy was the only one that really was probably lined up properly, and I think the way he anticipated and went right to it, you know, from your perspective, you thought it was an eye issue, but it was more him reacting to he felt that he had Randall in an uncovered situation because, you know, that particular play was more run first, you know, throw it versus empty pressure because, I mean, he was a – his tendency to be inside the nine was to play, you know, we call it 97, two-man, red zone, whatever you guys call it, and empty pressure were the two calls. So, and we got the coverage where is where you like to run the football there. But that specific situation, and it happens. I mean, it happens to the best of them. He like I said, with the late trail on the motion of Randall is really what happened on that play.
Mike, we've watched Aaron for a decade, and we see how he plays the position. But if you watch other young quarterbacks, they have growing pains too. Brett's not the only one. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is it reasonable to have expected him, though, with 3 years in, to play better than he has? Like, have you been surprised that he's struggled the way he has?
Well, I mean, I take your question as more of a blanket opinion. I think you have to look at, his opportunities, you know, and that's the first thing. And the second thing, I mean, to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, I mean, show me another quarterback that plays as fast as Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback that plays at a different level. So really what we're focused on is Brett learning from Aaron, you know, and trying to play faster and getting the ball out a little quicker, you know, the footwork and we're spoiled right now with Aaron because he makes it look easy. He plays fast. And he does, he's at a level that maybe a couple guys in this league are as far as what he can do at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, that's I don't even know why I'm talking about it because that's not really, we're focused on our offense playing differently and we need to play better. So, and that starts with me.
Good. Denver just made a change with their offensive coordinator. That's not your MO, is to do things that feel like knee jerk or whatever. Why do you believe in stay the course so much? Because you've had so much success, or what's your philosophy on that you don't bench your quarterback or fire somebody or stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I think it's like any decision. You have to, I can't even speak on Denver because frankly, I wasn't even aware it happened. I don't know what led up to that. You know, to me, every decision you got to make, you got to make sure you're taking in all the variables. You know, when you look at a play and when I look at a play, trust me, there's more variables that I'm looking at than you're at. And if you guys write a heck of an article and I maybe not recognize it, I'm probably not looking at all the variables or all the things you put into it too. So, I mean, I think it's common sense. So we're being evaluated all the time. You know, it's part of the process because you have to move the football team forward. So the variables as far as what affects culture, what affects growth, healthier football team is important. I know we next man up it and everything, but I mean there's things that happen in reactions to each and every challenge that you have that you have to keep in focus and to make rash decisions, and I would just say it's rash because I just think of the commitment that everybody has from player to coach going into this season, how far along we are into the season, you know, at this point, we've played 10 games, and how hard it is to win a game, you know, and you can never lose sight of that. I mean, every game we've ever won here has been hard. It's not easy, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what the score looks like, because there's so much that goes into it. So you have to look at all those factors, and those are variables that you put together. You have a formula, you make a decision. So, I'll just keep doing it the way, you know, that's something you have to look at. So, you know, that's why we do it the way we do it.
Thank you. Last one. Yeah, obviously you're supporting Brett. Do you feel like the rest of the team still has his, I don't say it has his back, but do you feel like the rest of the team has the confidence in him to get it done?
Yes, I do. I mean, that's the feedback that I get. I don't sit there and, you know, I'm coaching the game. I don't sit there and watch the sideline, but it's important to be in tune with your energy and the things, you know, and hey, it happens in life, you know. You wish it didn't, you know. People may be whispering over here, and you know where what the whispers are. I don't see any of that. I'm not aware of it. You know, everybody knows what each man puts into this. You know what these guys do professionally. You know what they put into, particularly just with their, let alone their bodies. And Brett is definitely, you know, he's at the, you know, probably one of the top guys at doing that. So he's here. He's working out. Everybody respects him. So I don't see any issue with that. At the end of the day, and I'll just say it again, I believe in Brett Hundley. I believe in Brett Hundley as a quarterback, and I believe he will improve. So, and that's where we are.